I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I've got my husband, Mike Murphy. I thought it was time that I should check in with you again.
That's right. It seems to happen whenever you don't have another guest.
You know what? I actually have a whole lot of guests, but I'm recording next week, and this was kind of an off week as we're getting ready for company and all kinds of other things happening.
Right.
Which is kind of exciting. Guests from Chicago.
Yes.
So anyway, always fun to see folks that are coming through the area and come in this direction. And then another friend of mine, a writer friend, coming after that. Looking forward to some good conversations. And happy she's coming through the area on her way somewhere else. And anyway, this is a great, a lot of people come through the area on their way to somewhere else.
And that area is Sarasota, Florida. Oh,
thanks for mentioning that. Yeah. Right. And you know what? We're in our den here. This is the new kitchen table that somebody mentioned that to me a week or two ago, that our den is, you know, kitchen table was our old recording spot in Chicago area, and now it's our den here in Sarasota. Also, Mike, before we get going with you and kind of give a little bit more formal introduction, I just want to say people periodically ask me how they can support the podcast, and they can do it a couple of ways. Through PayPal, all you have to do is use this address, producer@anitalustria.com. And Lustria is spelled with an EA on the end, in case you didn't know that. So producer@anitalustria.com, you can give through PayPal, or you can mail a check. People do that all the time as well. And the address is 8 White Oak Terrace, Sarasota, Florida, 34237. So let's move on. And you already know Mike Murphy is my husband. Those of you who listen to the podcast regularly know that. And he is a former, once a pastor, always a pastor, right?
I still am a pastor.
Yeah, you definitely have a pastor's heart. And I love, you're already meeting with people here in Sarasota.
It's surprising, isn't it?
It's interesting, you know, that just happens. God leads people across our path.
Right.
And yeah, you connect. You're just such a good connector. People are drawn to you anyway, which I love. It's fun to watch. And in other news, you and I have found a church.
We did. I remember a couple months ago, or was it 3 months ago, we started to talk about what do you look for in a church.
Mm-hmm. In fact, somebody emailed and asked.
Yes. And mm-hmm. I think we went to three churches, and all of them were delightful mm-hmm. in their own respects.
Yes.
But we finally landed on one, and we're very happy that we have. And you have been particularly touched by the sermons there.
Mm-hmm. And by touched, you mean crying?
Yes.
Fairly heavily in my pew or in my seat.
I've seen you cry when I preach before, but that was out of, oh no, this is so awful, but this is because they're very good.
Yeah, God has been meeting me, and that's always a wonderful thing. So
yes.
I'm grateful for that. Very grateful.
Yep. And all we have to do is open our eyes because he's at work, right?
Oh, you know what? He's always at work. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't sense it or feel it. And our feelings are important, but they're not the be-all, end-all. And sometimes we just have to have that faith component that we put into practice.
Yeah.
Trust the character of God and know that he is who he says he is, and that he's present with us, whether we're sensing or feeling that presence all the time, is another story. Well, let's dive into what we're going to talk about today. And many of you know that Mike puts together rumblings each week on Facebook. If you're not a Facebook friend of his, I think they're worth reading. It's 10 rumblings at the end of each week on Friday. They're very thought-provoking, things that you can chew on. You may agree, you may disagree. Often they're not the kind of agree-disagree thing. It's more the pondering and thinking about them. You get a lot of good comments on your rumblings. A lot of people share them. I share them on all my Facebook platforms. So if you're not a friend of Mike Murphy or don't see them on my Facebook pages, then you might want to friend him because they are worth the read.
Yes.
I post them over on the Friends of Midday Facebook page as well.
Right. And there's only like 40,000 Mike Murphys. But
I know. That's why I say find him through me.
Yes.
That would be easier, right? Find him through me on a Friday and you can friend him.
Everybody has to have a Mike Murphy in their life.
I think so.
Yes.
That's great. So I appreciate the rumblings, and all to say this week on the podcast, we're actually going to give a sneak peek ahead to at least a couple of rumblings that are going to come out this coming Friday. Of course, what does that mean if you download the podcast?
It means nothing.
Down in the future and blah, blah, blah. I'm so used to live radio that, you know, I still talk in those terms sometimes.
But. Right. And the rumblings are just things that are in my head and that I just feel compelled to get off out on paper.
Well, you're an internal processor, and that often comes through writing.
Right.
I'm a verbal processor. And sadly for you, that comes through your ears hearing me.
Yes, it does.
That's why I have a spiritual director, so it's not all on you.
That's why I run away to the quiet to write.
That's right. That's great. Well, and I've had people ask me, and I've heard them ask you, how long does it take you to write them? And, you know, is it last minute all the time? And so I think that's interesting, too.
Well, to write 10 things, about 1,000 words.
Okay.
So I write 1,000 words a week. It really takes about a week. I mean, as soon as I publish one on Friday, I usually have some ideas that pop in my head, so I start taking notes. Mm-hmm. And then usually around Tuesday, I've got some kind of list done, and I send it off to you, Anita, and say, if you could read these as soon as you can, and let me know what's good, what should be changed, and grammar and all that kind of stuff.
I'm the great punctuator.
You're a great punctuator. And sometimes you get to them before I need to post them, and not always, but you give me great insight on that. And so I'm always kind of collecting things. I'm trying to become really aware of what's going on in the world around me, and it includes what's close at hand and what's in the bigger world. Right. And some things I find incredibly funny, and so I like to post about that, and some things are deeply concerning. I don't try to get into the political realm too much, but some people would say, oh, that does apply, and it certainly does, because that's a part of life. So that's what I do.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get going. What are you going to bring us first?
Well, one thing that just has been going through my head is you and I went to our new church, and we were involved in the Ash Wednesday service.
Yes.
Now, I know that there's some people that listen that don't even know what Ash Wednesday is, but it's the start of the Lenten season. Mm-hmm. And we happen to believe that it's good for our soul to practice Lent. And so we were part of that. And I was beginning to think, as I watched people post online, I heard different conversations with people. People began to talk about what they were going to do during Lent. And it began to dawn on me that maybe we miss the point sometimes. Hmm. And so I wrote something this week that says, it's called Lent Questions for those who know deep in their heart that giving up chocolate isn't enough.
That's great. Hey, that's great. I never give up chocolate.
I know you don't, and you don't need to either. You're perfect the way you are. But I begin to realize, well, wait a minute. If we're really preparing for what's going to come during Holy Week, is there something else that we should be thinking about? And so I'm proposing to some people some questions that maybe they can spur them on during the Lenten season.
Good.
And so here's some of the questions.
Okay.
What are you living for?
Hmm.
In 10 words or less, state your purpose in life.
Hmm.
What keeps you awake in the evening?
Now, hold on. So you're going one to the next. I want you to give me a minute to think. And I wondered, I didn't know if you had answered these yet.
Oh, no, I don't think I need to do that. It's for other people. No, yes.
Well,
These are the kind of questions that I do think about.
I know
Anita.
You do.
You know that.
I do know
what.
And you don't necessarily need to say it here, but I realize that's one of the reasons I like the rumblings. They're in print. Because, you know, even doing this verbally here, I realize I want to pause because I want to think about these, but I will have them in print so that I can ponder them.
Yes, they're questions about the deeper things of life that go beyond giving up caffeine or chocolate or not watching your third favorite TV show anymore, or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that those are bad things,
because
sometimes those are very, very significant in people's lives, But I think that there's deeper things that God wants us to attend to as a result of doing that. That can be a trigger to something else.
Yes.
And so, chocolate lovers, don't be mad at me. I realize the pain of doing
it. That can be a sacrifice.
It can be a sacrifice.
I've never given up hot tea. And no. I don't think that I can, actually. That's really terrible.
And you know what? I'm glad you don't, because yeah. I think you'd really be...
miserable to live with.
Irritable was the word I was going to use. Yes.
But to your... Yeah, and you're making a deeper point here, which
I am. And so I'm listing these questions. Mm-hmm. You know, another one is, what passion in your life are you afraid will be awakened?
Mm. And I'll also say here in the midst of this, I'm going to have you repeat that one in a second. If you want the list of these, email me. I'll send it to you, anitalustria@gmail.com.
Right.
Okay? Say that one again.
What passion in you are you afraid will be awakened?
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Another one really has to do with more of a what we would call the false self, true self. But it's this. Do you ever admit you're not quite the person you're working hard for everyone to see? In other words, to come to grips with who you really are. Because I think a lot of people are working real hard to project something out to others that has absolutely nothing to do
with who they really are.
Who they really are.
Well, you and I were talking about identity issues just this week, and some of the identity issues that are raised when you move somewhere and no one knows who you are.
Oh, yes.
And does it matter that they don't know? And why do I feel like it matters that they should know? And what is it I want them to know? Well, you know, well, so it's a lot of that's wrapped up in your question.
Well, we've talked with some people that we'd like to be our friends, that we know that are influencers in this community. And, you know, it's almost like, oh, you should know this
about me. You should
know
this about me. And then there's this.
I hit 300 in Little League Baseball. Yeah.
You know? But it's, you know, it's very interesting, isn't it? And then you do start thinking about the true self, false self.
Oh, yes.
Business, and what is it that I'm projecting, and why? And why do I think I feel I need to?
Right.
And who is God calling me to be? And it's, visible and invisible, right? That's all of that.
And the reality is, most of the kind of people we want to be our friends don't give a rip about any of that. But we do it anyway. And then we have to go before God and say, mm-hmm. God, we are sinners. And we just have not figured this out yet.
Mm. Amen to that. Okay.
Okay. Another one is, who knows the truth about you?
deeper question. You know, I like that question a lot. Who knows the truth about you? I'm, you know, in my personal paraphrase, I'm thinking, who do I let into my life?
Yeah, that's right.
Who am I willing to let into my life to know the real me or the truth about me? And am I, you know, here, this might go along with it. Do we speak the truth to ourselves? Do we tell ourselves the truth about ourselves?
I think sometimes we don't.
Ooh, that's not small.
No, and that gets problematic. And it's almost as if we're trying to, if we don't tell the truth about ourselves, that maybe we can keep that a secret from even God.
I know. You know, it's funny how we think this, which is
just
ludicrous.
A fool's errand, yes. You know, when you get to it.
Yes.
Another thing I says is, I wrote this, what's really behind all your Facebook posts? You know, what's really motivating that? What audience are you trying to please? Why are you posting things that you're not even sure are true because you didn't have enough, courage and fortitude to check it with a fact checker, kind?
Okay, that kind of thing, too. Yeah.
But sometimes I think people are getting behind all these causes and whatnot. Mm. But what are they really doing to deal with that particular issue? What was their action step as a result of that? And if all it is posting on a Facebook post of somebody else's or on their own page, then really what good does it do? It's got to go beyond that.
I have to think about that. That's really interesting. And I'll tell you what I was thinking first when you first gave this particular rumbling. I thought about people that just want you to see them as better, which is part of what you're talking about, see them as better than they really are. I have friends who have not unfriended, but maybe blocked someone because their life looks so beautiful and perfect and problem-free that, you know, they couldn't handle it because that's not real life, real world, and it kind of made the other person, the friend that blocked them, feel bad or frustrated or something,
sure.
You know.
Yes,
I think it's easy to put forth on Facebook or social media, where whatever, Instagram, you know, you name it, something that we are not.
Right.
The pictures behind the cute kids, which I love seeing cute kids. We've got some adorable grandkids.
Probably the most adorable.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Exactly. But, you know, it's not all easy and fun, and the temper tantrum never gets a picture on Facebook,
right?
You know, so, I mean, so some of that you understand, but you're talking about even bigger and different things,
right.
And that's a good one worth pondering. Thanks.
Right. Another one, question I've been asking is, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong
about
anything?
Yeah, anything.
And what does that mm-hmm. mean?
And are you willing to say,
yes,
you're wrong, or I'm sorry, or, oh, wow, yeah. you were right.
Pet peeve of mine is that people will not admit they're wrong, even if they're shown the facts.
Mm.
They won't say, they just can't write it down. And so other people can see, you know, I was wrong about that particular thing, and I'm sorry I posted it. And I want.
Oh, I so appreciate that when. If people do that and say, oh, I didn't realize it. I'm sorry I posted it. Yes.
Yes. And I've done that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've had to go, I say to people, you know what? I try to be a good fact checker. I thought this was a very reliable post and source. And I found out it wasn't true. And I'm so sorry because I don't want to mislead you. Well, I think that actually builds more trust.
I think it does too.
And that's what you're after.
Yeah, I always appreciate that.
So anyway, those are some of the questions that people could ask if they want to know about a deeper journey.
Wow.
That goes beyond whatever it is that they decided to give up, or even something that they decided to add to their
life.
Yeah,
because that's another thing that people do during Lent, you know, either give up something or add something that equally might mm-hmm. be some sort of a sacrifice.
Right.
Yeah,
and this is a kind of a reflective exercise, and mm-hmm. There's all kinds of good ones. All people have to do is just do an exercise to write in their journal or on a piece of paper anywhere and say, these are the questions I would never want to be asked.
Mm.
Those are the kind of questions
we need to take
to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah,
because that's where God will do his best
work.
Yeah,
that's really true. Well, that's good. I like that.
There's
a lot to ponder. You were at about the third or fourth question before I realized you weren't just talking about question number one. You had just kept going.
I just had. Yeah.
So I've got to kind of go back and think about those first few.
There's,
all right.
I'll bring these to your attention.
Yeah. And you can email me or just go to anitalustria.com as well, because I'll post it with the show notes for this particular podcast.
Right.
And along with kind of talking about Lent there and giving some of those reflective questions, Mike, you and I have been going through a Lenten experience online that I think has been wonderful. And so it's through Biola University, specifically through the Center for Christianity, Culture, and the Arts that comes out of Biola. And I will post a link to that on at anitalustria.com as well. I have sent the link out to so many friends and spiritual direction clients and people that I care about that I think would benefit from it. You and I both have really appreciated
right.
this.
I've been 40 years in ministry, and I think it's the best guide ever.
Wow. For me, okay, so some of the whys of that, let me just say it includes music, art, poetry, literature, scripture,
commentary,
you know, meditation. Yes, all of that is included. And I love it. And it's delivered to my, you know, to your inbox daily. And so if you're traveling, if you're going somewhere, you can easily, it will be with you.
Yes.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to go to a different rumble.
Okay.
Another.
Good. Let's hear it.
You know, people aren't even going to have to read it now. They're going to hear all all this. I was thinking about what happened at the Oscars last week.
Okay.
We watched.
Is
we got to
just
see the
last end. Week.
Yes.
Okay.
And we happened to watch it. We are big movie fans. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the movies we have not seen this time, but that's all right. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been moving, so we can forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
But I wrote this: all the airtime given to the Oscar flub got me thinking about its historical significance. My conclusion is that in the course of human events, that flub will matter not at all. It won't even be a footnote. The same goes for Kellyanne Conway taking pictures while sitting on an Oval Office couch. But the time we spend on such things is mind-boggling. That sound you hear is the rest of the world laughing at us. Hmm. And the silence is God choosing not to smite us.
Wow.
Lord have mercy on us for caring deeply about frivolous things and caring not a bit about the things that really matter.
Oh,
yeah, okay. That's pretty deep in my heart.
I was going to say that's dagger to the heart there, kind of. That's, I hear you and get that one for sure.
Yes, and I, because it was on the news constantly, the Oscar this. What are they going to do with those two accountants? And people were online and writing and saying, well, they got to be fired. This is unconscionable.
And then didn't you hear the one guy received death threats? Right. And I sit there and I think, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it makes me wonder what kind of world
that we
are living in.
Wow.
Now, when I said God choosing not to smite us, that was probably an overstatement of some, you know, you got to see it as that. But I think God might grow weary over our obsession with silly things.
Mm-hmm.
Because right before us in our country and around the world are things that we really should be talking about, things that really do deserve air time. There are real lives being impacted, you know, and it has nothing to do with just a movie or Hollywood. And in Anita, both you and I just have great appreciation for the arts and actors. That's not a slam on them. Yeah. And it certainly was an awkward moment. We recognize that. But it's not even going to be a footnote in the history of the world because it really doesn't matter. It doesn't have the potential to matter at all. And so it got me to thinking, what are the things that get me worked up that really don't have any depth and weight to them? And then why is it working me up so much? What can I do instead of doing that? And how can I honor God who has set before us some things that we should be paying attention to?
That's never happened to me, Mike. I've never gotten worked up about anything.
Well, yes. And we
wow. Yeah. Yeah. Did you write that one specifically for me?
No, I did not. I did not. But I see it all the time. And
me? Yeah. I think we all can have that tendency.
Sure. I get worked up over things.
Stupid things.
But you see it when somebody's at a sporting event, all of a sudden they're yelling and screaming at a referee over some judgment call, and you can't help but ask yourself the question, I wonder what's really going on in that person's life.
Right.
There's something deeper than that call because they're getting bent out of shape like crazy, and they'll walk out of that stadium and be oblivious to the homeless person that's sitting outside the entrance. Mm.
Wow.
And we'll talk about that blown call for years and years and years, and they will call sports talk shows to talk about it because I've heard those people call sports talk shows because I waste my time on sports talk
listening
shows.
Listening to sports talk shows, yeah.
Not as much anymore. I'm more an NPR guy now.
Times change.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
All right. We got time for one more?
Yes, we do.
The other thing that I've been really thinking a lot about and have kind of written periodically about is truth and lies.
Hmm.
And I wrote a small reflection about truth and lies for this week.
Let's hear it.
And I put it in first person.
All right.
So I lie. And then I lie about my lying. And then someone tries to cover up my lie by telling an even bigger lie. Then I try to deflect my lying by accusing someone else of lying more. But my deflection is also a lie. and I pat myself on the back by asserting my lies are now the truth. And people say that I'm still trustworthy. Ha. I think we're living in a world that doesn't know what the truth is much of the time.
Well, and that's very problematic.
And maybe a face has gone through your mind about who this is all about. I have a whole bunch of faces in front of my eyes. I've seen clergy people do this. I've seen church boards do it when they're trying to talk about the discernment process. Perhaps they're not telling the truth about that. They've already discerned
and decided
trying to put so they're fudging the truth just a little bit. You see it. We certainly saw it during the Wall Street crisis. Established institutions that we are supposed to be able to trust. It was lie after lie after lie after lie. It even happens in the political realm. Mm-hmm. We see that over and over and over again. And I think we have to come to a point in saying, okay, what is truth and how important is it? And are we willing to speak the truth in a way that others can really hear? And are we willing to stand up when people are obviously lying and covering up and not doing the right thing? And what's disconcerting to me is I'm watching more and more people actually say, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
Okay, I'm just thinking about this. So how, you know, on the broader world stage, we're not close enough maybe to people we see on television or those further from us that might be doing that or a part of that kind of behavior. Maybe something closer in, as you talked about, you know, a church or something like that, or a friend, someone you know that you've seen say something that you know really isn't true. Here's the thing. I can't do anything on the broader world stage. I always think about, what about people close into that person? You know, say it's an actor or an actress or something. I'm, you know, someone in that light. I think it's our responsibility when we're in the circle of someone to talk about it, to go to that person. It frustrates me when someone's too far away that I can't have influence or there's nothing I can do about it. But what do we do with those people closer in that we know? Don't you think it's our responsibility to speak up?
Yes, and I think that's one of the hardest things in the world to do.
I think it is too.
That we don't want to offend somebody, and yet we know it's an issue, so we don't say something.
Someone promoted and given a raise in a corporate setting before because of this kind of behavior, because someone didn't want to confront, so I'll just move them out of my area. You know, we don't, and I'm talking about in the church, not in the church, all over, we don't know how to do this well.
We don't, and it's becoming increasingly problematic in our world. We're trying to discover what's real and what's fake, right?
Mm-hmm. Big in the news.
Big in the news. And I think it's a lot easier to know what's true and what isn't if we bother to look at the evidence that's presented, and in relationships, it's in the quality of the questions that arrives at the truth. If somebody says, "Hey, the sky is green today," and I look out the window and say, "Wait a minute, no, it's not. It's blue." Well, we can argue back and forth. Then I can say, "Let me ask you a few questions. What makes you think the sky is green? You know, how is it different from the trees underneath underneath it?
Have you ever been diagnosed with color blindness?"
Yeah, and you ask those kind of questions. Yeah. And I think questions are oftentimes a way of refuting lies. You just keep on asking them. And usually the person that's lying will have a very difficult time with questions because they fabricated so many things, they don't know what truth is any longer.
No, I like that. I like that approach. even with someone that we know that's closer to us, that we don't want to just let this go by, it's a lot harder to come up and say, I think you just told a lie, or I don't think that's true. It's a lot easier to come up and start asking a question. What did you mean by that? Is that accurate? I like that approach. I think it's also easier to engage in a conversation as opposed to making an accusation back.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
In journalism, the best journalists keep on asking the questions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, they find they rattle the other person. Good lawyers will keep on asking questions of somebody and in the hopes that they'll rattle them so that eventually the truth will come out, that they'll get caught in a tangle of lies. My biggest worry is we don't care anymore about people lying.
Ooh.
That we're so conscious of accepting it. That we just kind of let it go, because it is a lot of work.
Okay, I think when we do that, we don't care if we lie ourselves, to ourselves, to anyone else.
Right.
I mean, I think there's a lot at stake, I think, in this particular
thought. I think there is, too, because I have to ask myself, every time I speak someplace and saying, did it really happen this way or not? And there's times where you catch yourself and you go, you have to relive it again. Mm-hmm. You have to go back and say, did it happen this time?
Or this way.
Or this particular way. Or sometimes you can get away with, in a good way, because people know you're...
Yes, embellishing.
Embellishing a little bit just for the sake of being funny or, making a point. But actually, the best speakers will say, this did happen. I'm not sure. I can't remember anymore if it happened exactly this way, but I'm going to put my spin on it for the sake of this sermon.
There you go.
Or whatever it is. That's fine with me, because they're being honest. They're being honest about it.
Right.
Basically, they're saying there's going to be some embellishment that's taking place too.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. You've raised a lot of good issues. You started us off with questions.
Yeah.
Questions that need to be pondered and reflected on. I think those are really helpful. And then what was the second one? Where do we go in the second one? Well, talking about Lent.
Yes.
Then you got us talking about Lent, which I think was really helpful. And then this final thought. Also, we got back to asking questions again, which is interesting, not as a response to what you talked about lies, how do you confront lies in people you know or in the culture at large?
When we ask the questions, Anita, what we do is we give somebody a great gift. Hmm. And the gift is that they have to think afresh about who they are and what it is that they're saying. Hmm. And sometimes we just get caught up into a web of deceit, and we're almost begging somebody to catch us in it. Because when the truth does come out, other people can deal with that a lot better than dealing with the fabrications that we keep on putting out there. Because they know, they get it. They know when somebody's not telling the truth.
Yes. Ooh. Well, if I said it at the beginning, I'll say it right here again at the end. First of all, thank you, Mike, for joining me this week. I appreciate it. And for those who missed the word at the beginning, Mike puts these rumblings out once a week on Fridays. I repost them. You can find him, because there are lots of Mike Murphys, yes. You can find him and friend him on Facebook through my page, Anita Lustria. I've got a professional and personal page, or through Friends of Midday as well. You can like all of those. Mike, thanks. Appreciate you. Love you even.
I love you too.
All right. I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations.